Grace and peace be with you all from a God who so loves and cannot resist the world. Amen. Chapter 1, The Boy Who Lived. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much. They were the last people you'd expect to be involved in anything strange or mysterious, because they didn't hold to such nonsense. Mr. Dursley was a director of a firm called Gurney's, which made drills. He was a big, beefy man with hardly any neck, although he did have a very large mustache. Mrs. Dursley was thin and blonde and had nearly twice the usual amount of neck, which came in very useful as she spent much of her time craning over the garden fences and spying on the neighbors. The Dursleys had a small son called Dudley, and in their opinion, there was no finer boy anywhere. The Dursleys had everything they wanted, but they also had a secret, and their greatest fear was that someone would discover it. They didn't think they could bear it if anyone found out about the Potters. Mrs. Potter was Mrs. Dursley's sister, but they hadn't met in several years. In fact, Mrs. Dursley pretended she didn't have a sister, because her sister and her good-for-nothing husband were un-Dursley-ish as it was possible to be. The Dursleys shuddered to think what the neighbors would say if the Potters arrived in the street. The Dursleys knew that the Potters had a small son, too, but they had never seen him. This boy was another good reason for keeping the Potters away. They didn't want Dudley mixing with a child like that. They didn't want Dudley mixing with a child like that. Unlike Dudley, who grew up in a home with both parents that spied on their neighbors and spent a great deal of time spoiling their son, Harry's parents, however, were killed when Harry was an infant. There was no spying on neighbors or spoiling of Harry. There was only survival. And it was Harry's survival that made him famous with his people, the witches and wizards of the world. By the way, this sermon's going to spoil a lot of Harry Potter. So if you haven't read it already, I'm sorry, catch up. The Dursleys worked hard to maintain a life that was distant from the Potters. Their kind, they lived in a world of us and of them, much like our society does today. When Harry came to live with the Dursleys, Vernon, Petunia, and Dudley worked endlessly to make sure it was understood that Harry was not like them, and they were not like Harry. Just like Harry was different, set apart from you will, if you will, from the Dursleys, he was also different and set apart from the wizarding world as well. His survival for the wizarding world and his eventual presence at Hogwarts signaled a new change for the wizarding world. Jesus also was set apart. His birth would not only transform the lives of those in the region, but of the entire cosmos. His ministry was and is not just for his followers, not just for those who came to hear him, teach, see his miracles, or get healed, but for the entire universe. Speaking of those early followers, they're still following Jesus in today's text, perhaps though now out of frustration rather than interest. 4 weeks ago, only a few days ago in the text time, Jesus attempts to get some alone time with his disciples. Mark records that many were coming and going, and they had no time to rest. He goes on to write that even before the disciples and Jesus can get out of their boat, the crowds are already approaching. It's no wonder they probably went back and forth trying to find a place to rest. 3 weeks ago, we began John chapter 6 and started the bread marathon, as I'm starting to call it. The first Sunday we heard about bread, Jesus was feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But something I didn't preach about was at the end of the day, a storm threatened to overtake the boat, and the disciples have gotten in and are worried. Jesus calmly walks on the water and tells his disciples, "Do not be afraid." Perhaps this storm was a symbolic foreshadowing of what is to come for Jesus and his followers. 2 weeks ago, Jesus led on that his ministry was and is bigger than any of them, and perhaps any of us, realized. Jesus scolds them and tells them that their ministry is not about getting their bellies full. He then boldly proclaims that he is the bread that comes down from heaven that gives life to the world. When they responded with asking what they can do to receive that bread, Jesus remarks that it is not what they can do, but it is who he is and what he can do. Last week's, the crowds are beginning to get agitated. It was all well and good when they were being fed, perhaps even acceptable, albeit a bit far-fetched, when Jesus said he was the bread that came down from heaven. But this week, oh no, Jesus says, and Jesus is instructing those gathered, that they must eat him. Line drawn, no longer interested, Jesus, you've gone too far. When Harry began to attend Hogwarts, like I mentioned earlier, it signaled a new era of the wizarding world. Harry was the one who was seen as defeating Lord Voldemort. Hushed whispers and occasional shouts followed Harry wherever he went. There were those who suspected that Lord Voldemort, the one who killed Harry's parents, was gone forever. But things are not always as they seem. Books 1 through 4, perhaps you know, catalog Harry's adventures when he comes into himself. And at the same time, Lord Voldemort continues to attempt to return and seize power. Conveniently, at the end of the school year, an exam got canceled. When I read that as a kid, I was very jealous. By the end of book 4, Lord Voldemort has returned, according to Harry, but much of the wizarding world is unable to accept this truth. Dumbledore comments, "Dark times lie ahead of us, and there will be a time when we must choose between doing what is right and doing what is easy." Likewise, Jesus' ministry signaled a shift from the status quo to his disciples and to those who have been following him. He is performing acts and saying provocative things. Like Harry, Jesus is coming into his own. It matters not what someone is born, but who they grow up to be. Could this be the one who was foretold? Book 5, The Order of the Phoenix, which is my personal favorite book, is when Harry realizes Lord Voldemort's return is bigger than killing Harry. The Order of the Phoenix, a resistance group led by Professor Dumbledore, who's also one of my favorite characters, is concerned that Lord Voldemort's return is an attempt to take over the universe. Likewise, Jesus' ministry shifts as he says he was the one to come down from the world, from the heaven, and give life to the world through his body and through his blood. Those that are in the crowds that are following him are put off. Who would want to believe such a far-fetched idea? In book 6, Dumbledore reveals to Harry that Lord Voldemort has more magical power than anyone knows. He has constructed a multitude of horcruxes, death preventers, if you will, in attempts to avoid death. Death, to Lord Voldemort, is the worst thing that can happen to someone. According to Lord Voldemort, the weak, not the powerful, die. Finally, in the last book, as Voldemort's power has reached its strongest and most vulnerable, and perhaps most volatile, Harry comes to the realization that this is bigger than he even knew. While both sides work to arm themselves with violence, Harry considers an alternative. Does it hurt? The childish question had escaped Harry's lips before he could stop it. Dying? Not at all, said Sirius. Quicker and easier than falling asleep. But death is not an easy thing. Death is complicated. If God, through Jesus, must undergo death, it must be symbolic, victorious, inspiring, and heroic. Yet this is not the route that Jesus or Harry take. Jesus and Harry take death upon themselves by surrendering to themselves. They surrender to the world. They're willing to offer their bodies and blood up so that the cosmos might be saved by their decision. Evil is disarmed, but not by violence, but by love. Jesus' love is not just limited to the crowds or him of his disciples. I would dare to say that Jesus' love is not limited to Christianity. Jesus' love is for the cosmos, the world, and the universe over. Jesus goes to die, just as Harry did, for the love of creation. By them dying, they give life. Harry shouts Expelliarmus. Jesus whispers, "It is finished." Evil, death, and sin are disarmed. I think back to last week when Pastor Jeff talked about how during communion, God sets the table and welcomes all. Take and eat. This is my body. Take the cup. This is my blood. Take a hold of the life I give. Take of a hold of the life that you need. Sorry. Take a hold of the life that I give. Take a hold of me. Harry, and more importantly, Jesus, die for the world just how it is. They don't try to fix everything, knowing that that is perhaps bigger than beyond them. But they can die. But God does not die despite of who we are. God dies because of who we are. It's bigger than any of us know, but it's also quite simple. It's about love. Amen.